welcome to Fortune Cookie, the podcast that dives into Chinese and Western culture. My name is Beatrice, also known as Xin Mei.
My name is Tina Chow, and students call me Zhao Lao Shi. Lao Shi is teacher or professor in Chinese. So today, our topic is about long distance romantic relationships.
Romantic. Yeah. Everyone's favorite topic. Sometimes bittersweet, but that's okay. With this long distance romantic relationships, it's been a personal dialogue for at least this whole semester.
Right.
Yeah, it's been a while, Asha. And throughout this dialogue this semester and this journey, it really has been a journey. It still is a journey.
Yes. I've been with you on the journey since the beginning.
Yes, Sasha, I appreciate your company. And it's very, I feel grateful when I find other people around me that I can share this experience with. And I was just sitting in the office where I work at, and with other friends around me who work in the same office, we would, outside of work, we would talk. Right. And it's coincidental how many of us within our little team have either gone through or are going through
long distance romantic relationships.
Yeah, right. Wow. Now. And okay. It's been very insightful, and it opened my eyes to, and it's good. It's kind of like a support group.
Okay.
Which I really appreciate. And so long distance, at least for me, from what I've seen, is kind of those where partners are expected to continue a close relationship, but communication opportunities are restricted because of geographic distance.
Right.
And this is how it's defined by Laura Stafford in 2005 in Maintaining Long Distance and Cross-Residential Relationships.
Thank you, Xinmei, for that academic definition.
And, I know it's long.
So it basically just simply means that a relationship where you cannot get into a car and see each other.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Basically,
right. Physically.
Yeah, yeah, you can't just casually drive over in your little car and, okay, hello, and then leave.
Right.
And, with this, in some studies, they found that regardless of cultural membership, so we know that with long-distance relationships, mm-hmm. It's very possible that you're in two different countries. But right. Also, by this definition, you could be also in, let's say, California, which is one of my friends. She's in Southern California. Her boyfriend's in Northern California.
Uh-huh.
So even that is considered long-distance relationships.
Right, right.
But regardless of your cultural membership, if you're in Western culture or you're in the Chinese culture, people actually reported greater self-disclosure. So they were closer, and that indicated greater love, liking, commitment, and also willingness to adjust their communication style to match their partners.
Wow, okay.
Yeah.
That is good.
Yeah, it really shows. I know that we
good
are
sharing.
Yeah, yeah, it's because we are a cultural podcast. That's what we talk about.
Mm-hmm.
And it's nice to see that in some situations, culture isn't something that necessarily comes in the way.
Right. Lao Shi just did some research online for you.
Thank you, Lao Shi.
No,
I appreciate it.
I want to test you. Okay.
I'm ready.
So I researched something called Best Tips on Making a Long Distance Relationship Work.
Mm.
And this website is called lifehack.org. Okay. And I just took some questions or some suggestions from their site. And yeah. I would like to see if you and Ye Jun, which is
Steven
the way you are maintaining your relationship is the way that they're suggesting. Let's or you see. If you have other more mm-hmm. suggestions or gold nuggets you want
yes.
like to you would like to share with us,
we'll
right?
see what comes up.
All right, so question one.
Mm.
They suggest avoiding excessive communication.
This is something, yes, my final answer for this is yes. I
okay.
agree.
So Xinmei, Do you have some sharing for us?
Well,
why do you agree on this one?
Yeah, I think from what I've gone through in the past few months of long distance relationship,
mm-hmm.
and this isn't even for that. It's just as a human being.
Okay.
If you talk to someone, just imagine this. You talk to someone 24/7 nonstop, like literally nonstop.
24/7 is impossible.
Yes, exactly. But if we were built that okay. way, then you would literally be talking air. Like air would just be coming out of your mouth and water. Like it just makes no sense. And
mm-hmm.
it's like, hi, like that. And that's the same with especially long distance relationships, is the distance already adds so much more on a relationship.
Right.
That the way you communicate and how you communicate is so important. And if you just keep on talking but you're not talking about quality, then that is where you're going to fall short. And that's where the relationship is. And sometimes people don't know that that's why the relationship isn't working out. Because you want to keep talking, so you talk more and more and more.
Right.
But that's doing the opposite effect of what you want.
Just like we always hear about this phrase, is less is more.
Yes.
Right.
Less is more. It's like quality over quantity.
Correct.
Which is so true. It's so true.
So you will say, like, why? Mm-hmm. And how is more important.
Yeah. Why and how rather than what. Because at the end of the day, you could be talking about potato chips. Mm-hmm. But if you talk about potato chips 24/7, you're not going to be interested in it.
Right.
But if you talk about it, like, once in a while, you talk about it, the how you talk about it, you talk about it very passionately, because you don't usually talk about potato chips. Then
it becomes interesting.
It becomes interesting.
Okay.
Yeah. And with excessive communication or just communicating with your partner, there might be some topics, depending on your culture, that you might not want to talk about.
Right.
So in a study, it was shown that topic avoidance could be used by Chinese couples when they fear negative relational and personal consequences of the disclosure of, you know, talking and opening up. And
right.
that was the research finding of Chinese couples. And Steven and I, we are of the Chinese culture. But I have to say, I disagree with this finding.
Why not?
I think one aspect is that the way that our relationship starts, and this is the one point that I think will debunk this research finding. I don't know if it's just me, but it's that every relationship is so different. The way you start is different. And if you start on a certain point, it's because Steven and I, he was graduating early. Or not graduating early, but he was graduating to go work. And because of that situation of having him go work, we had to talk about those things at the very beginning. So we couldn't avoid that topic.
Right.
Yeah. And that's for, even though, yes, we are Chinese, and topic avoidance is a big thing in the Chinese culture.
Right.
That wasn't something for us.
Sorry, I have to stop you here because I think our audience doesn't know Steven. Do you want to give us a little bit of background of Steven?
Yes. So for you to know a little bit about Steven, he's going to love being on the spotlight.
He loves that, yeah.
Yes, is that we met in college. Yes, in college. And he was an international student and from Vietnam. So when he ended... When he was near,
he's an international student from Vietnam. But what is his family background?
Right, he does business,
and his parents speak Chinese.
And his parents speak Chinese. Yes,
and Cantonese.
Yeah, Cantonese. And the mom speaks
some
Mandarin.
Mandarin Chinese. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
And so that's the backgrounds that we have. He's from Vietnam.
So he's like...
But he's Vietnamese Chinese.
Vietnamese Chinese.
Yes.
Come to the U.S. for a college degree.
Yes, okay. In business. And he went back to continue doing business in Vietnam.
Right.
And then I, on the other hand, is Malaysian Chinese, who was born in Hong Kong and then came to the U.S.
Right.
So that's our cultural background, which matters.
Yes, yeah. It's important for our audience to know about that.
Yes,
because
for you
they
to
have
know.
No idea who's Stephen.
Yes.
Keep talking about him. Okay. So... Thank you for sharing that. And Lash is really curious what conflicts you and Steven have had in regards to the culture part.
Like cultural...
I don't know, cultural difference because of the cultural difference or because of the thinking or views on things that you guys would have conflicts.
Yeah, and that comes with topic avoidance, right? It's like... We don't avoid these topics to talk about. And so everything that the way we need to deal with it, it comes out. And so when it comes to conflicts, especially in culture, that's like a huge reason why, not a huge reason, but.
What is it?
But a part of why we argue is because of our
cultural background?
Yeah, or yeah, cultural backgrounds, cultural perspectives compared to our values. So we have same values. Our values are the same. We value right. the same things, mm-hmm. but our perspective on things are different.
Mm.
Yes. So we have. So it's possible to have same values but different perspective.
Right.
And that is what our conflicts come from, because our values is why we are together, and but then the perspectives is why we are, you know, conflicting and yes. having arguments.
Yes.
And one would be, a big one is about him being a man and me being a woman in a relationship. Well, it's how our roles fall into this relationship.
Okay. Yeah. You mean he is more like a Asian man thinking?
Yes.
Is that what you mean?
Yeah, I would say more traditional.
Asian men thinking that they should nurture women, mm-hmm. they should be responsible for the households and right. take care of the things.
Right, which is good. And he has that, but he also likes his...
In control.
Yeah.
Controlling things.
Well...
Is that right? I'm sorry. I'm just
no, it's
to,
a, yeah, yeah, it's a lot to balance out. It's like he wants to do that, but at the same time, he knows that the woman should have their own... Like, it shouldn't
have their own say?
Yeah, have their own say.
Well, but then you have to think about the Asian culture. It's right. different in Chinese culture.
Exactly.
It's more like there's a saying, 男主外,女主内, mm-hmm. which means 男 is the guys have to go out and explore and fight for the family and be the breadwinner.
Yeah.
And the women is just be at home, educate the kids,
yeah.
cook, do the housework.
Yeah.
More of that kind of thinking in Chinese culture. It's right. very, very common. It's, right. Maybe it's a little bit different now. It's changing because mm-hmm. of the Western cultures. It's people yeah. are being educated, being yeah. introduced, and a little bit different. But still, majority is still having that same
right.
thinking
yeah, and
nowadays.
I think my upbringing makes me a little bit...
It more adds, Western?
In a way, it adds a more Western layer to my beliefs and my thinking
right.
compared to him, because he only came here for college and then went.
Yeah.
You know.
It's different. You came here
yes.
earlier, which is the stage, the mm-hmm. phase of your time
yeah.
to be formed. A lot of the
right.
Ideas and thinking, usually studies shown, people's mm-hmm. Views, thinking, mm-hmm. values, all that is being formed during teenage years.
Right.
So that's when you immigrate here. So,
yeah.
So yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah, and that with that, I feel like what I say might, you know, for him, he might see it differently.
We should interview him, maybe.
Yes. Yeah, it comes up. If he wasn't in a different time zone, that would be awesome.
To have him in our,
yep,
our
exactly.
podcast. We should probably make one for him.
Yes, coming soon.
Okay. So my second question for you, are you ready?
Yes, what is it?
Okay, so they suggest you to see the long-distance relationship as an opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
Agree?
Oh, 100, 200, 1,000% agree with my whole soul.
Why is
well,
that?
Before long distance even became a thing for me, I honestly just thought long distance, it's so difficult. But that I never really thought more than
right.
that. But now that I'm in it, it's like a whole new world. Like, you know, the Disney song, whole new world, like that. That's what it feels like. But maybe not as happy. A little
not
bit.
As happy.
Not as
okay.
happy. Yeah, because with long distance relationships,
uh-huh.
there's so many more layers that comes with it. But it's interesting. I actually found in mm-hmm. a research study that geographically close couples are not proven to be more satisfied than long distance relationship couples.
Well, agree, because mm-hmm. you've heard about that, right? The furthest the distance is, I'm in front of you and you don't know I love you. Have you heard about this saying?
Oh, what?
Oh, yeah.
Well, should please explain.
The furthest distance
mm-hmm.
is... I'm in front of you,
oh.
but you don't know I love you.
Oh.
Basically means...
Oh, my heart!
You are physically in front of this person.
Yeah.
But you guys...
But they don't see the love.
They don't have connections.
Oh, that's...
You're sleeping on the same bed every night, but you're not communicating.
That hurts
you're
the most.
You're not in love, right? So...
Yeah, that
communication
hurts the
is the key for any relationship.
Yes. Yeah. glad you mentioned communication is so huge. And that's the basis of everything, you know, especially in long distance relationships. And seeing long distance as an opportunity is very much about the way you see it. You can see it as an opportunity.
Right.
But you can also see it as a horrible, horrible thing. And your perspective is what makes it or breaks it.
Right. So that's why people say take it as an opportunity, and then you basically see it as a test as well.
Mm.
So there's a Chinese saying is a true gold is not afraid of being tested by fire.
True gold isn't afraid to be tested by fire.
Fire, right.
Mm-hmm. How does the saying go in Chinese?
It's 真金不怕火炼.
真金不怕火炼.
Yeah, so real gold is not afraid of being tested by fire.
Yes,
are you ready for question three?
What is the third one?
So set some ground rules to manage your expectations.
Oh, set some ground rules to manage your expectations.
You get it?
Yeah, I think for this, setting ground... Okay, ground rules. This sounds like a house or something.
ground... You get it, right?
Yeah.
Ground rules, okay.
I agree. I think this is a huge one, too.
You have some ground rules for you?
Well, our ground rules, it's kind of unspoken ground rules.
Uh-huh.
But that's also where we fell short
in
our process of stepping into long distance. Was we didn't really set explicitly, okay, going into this, this is what, you know, we might need or we should do when we do long distance officially. But throughout doing long distance, Stephen and I has set ground rules unspokenly throughout our arguments and conflicts that's happened.
Okay. So through arguments, through communications, you figure out some rules that you want to follow and will make the relationship better.
Yeah.
And last.
Yeah, right? Exactly. And last. That's the goal. And when I was looking up about long distance relationships, you know, because it's good to learn more of what you're doing, it was found that the intimacy that long distance relationship people experience is actually more dependent on the perceptions of being understood, validated, and cared for by their partners. And I think working on top of that with your ground rules, making sure that that is your end goal, is to make sure that each of you is being understood, validated, and cared for is a good starting point.
That is a very good point.
Yeah, because... For example,
I
get triggered when I think about this, is that because there is a time zone between Vietnam and the U.S., obviously.
Yeah. And how many hours is that?
Vietnam is 14 hours ahead of us.
Okay.
Yeah, so what I do is I add 2 hours to our time and then change the time of day.
Yeah, exactly.
So with that, with him being so far away, when we call and he's working and I have school, so our schedule on top of time zone is even crazier.
Right.
It's like trying to find a pin in the haystack. You can't even find time.
Wow.
Barely.
Mm-hmm.
So his night and my morning is when we usually call. And there have been multiple times, first where because it's a long day, I completely understand. It's so long working from 6 a.m. till like late night, that he needs to take a quick nap before we call, our call time.
Right.
And so he takes a quick nap, and I wake up for our call in the morning, like 7 a.m., ready, calling and texting him.
He's still sleeping.
Silence. No response. And I get really confused and worried, and I don't know what I want to feel because I didn't get any response, and I wake up at 7 a.m. And in my head, automatically, I know, okay, he probably fell asleep.
Okay.
And then later on, he texts me back. He's like, I am so sorry. I fell asleep, and my alarm didn't go off, blah, blah, blah. And inside of me, I get really mad. And
understandable.
Yeah, understandable. But at the same time, it's understandable for him because
he's very tired and he had a long day. Yeah.
Yeah. And
but understandable for both sides, right?
Yeah.
So being understood is so important from the research, right?
Mm-hmm.
As well. So that is a very good point. So
yeah.
I understand why you were upset.
Yes, I was. But it's also that and that's the difficulty of the situation, is that there's no one who's completely right, no one who's completely wrong.
However, because of the ground rule things, for you guys talk on the phone, right?
Mm-hmm.
So normal couple, that is probably not a good term.
Close distance
couple.
Mm-hmm.
Geographically, they would go on dates. However, long distance couples, they don't go on dates. Well, they go on dates through phone. That's your phone date, right? Yeah. So you see it as your date. And basically, he didn't show up. So you were upset.
Yeah.
However, if we stand in his point of view, he's very tired. He's exhausted the day and he couldn't wait. So,
yeah. And that's the thing about long distance relationships. It's important is that two things. One is, you need to take their perspective. You need to understand where they're coming from. And also, it's that showing up. That's a huge thing for long distance. Because in the distance, within that distance, you need to show up within that distance.
Correct.
Because if you don't, then it's basically a person with no other person.
Right.
You know, and that's the thing. It's like showing up. That's what I said. That's what I said to him. I was like, you need to show up. And I told him too, like, I need to show up too.
Yeah.
We both people need to show up.
You just basically see your phone call as a date. That's it.
Exactly. Yeah.
You ask somebody to meet at Starbucks at 6 p.m. They have to show up at 6 p.m.
Exactly.
Like that.
Yep.
So one thing I read on the site, it says about the ground rule thing.
Yeah.
One is they talk about, can we still see others? While we are not, you know, still going out with people?
Yeah.
Or is it exclusively together? Or how much is the level that we want to commit to each other? Because of the long distance relationship could be something more vague. You kind of feel like you're a little bit uncertain about the goal, right? A little bit. It could be sometimes.
Yeah, yeah.
If you're not. So that is something I would like to talk about between Western culture and Asian culture.
Yeah.
In dating culture. So many cultures.
Okay. Yes.
In dating
That's what we're
culture.
About.
So it's very interesting. Just take Taiwan as example.
Right.
In Taiwan, people basically are, if they are dating, you basically already see them already couple. And they're dating.
Oh, yeah. Going on dates compared to being official.
But in the United States or Western culture, it's very, very common you just go on dates.
Yeah.
But so maybe I was not specific enough. I'm saying in Taiwan, the culture is if you're saying you go on dates, basically you're thinking that these people are going out with their boyfriend or girlfriend already. So less of this dating thing.
Right, right.
Do you get it?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I mean, it's how the word is defined.
So if you're saying I'm going on a date, you will think, oh, you're going on a date with your boyfriend? I'm going on a date with your girlfriend? Yeah.
And that's, so just to clarify, it's in the Western culture that if you're dating, you're official already. No, just kidding. Opposite. No.
If you're dating, you could date anyone.
Right.
Go on a date doesn't mean you are with this person exclusively.
Yeah.
You're probably just knowing this person.
Right.
It's called date. But in more traditional Taiwanese or Chinese thinking, if you're going on a date, you're thinking about, oh, I'm going on a date with my boyfriend or girlfriend.
Yeah, like dating. Oh, I'm dating them. Yeah. Like, I'm dating. That's how my mind works. And coincidentally, the other day, I had these two Asian friends.
Right.
And they aren't official. They're not boyfriend and girlfriend.
Right.
But they're dating. And one of my friends told me, yeah, they're dating. And in my head, they're official. Like, when did this happen? Like, who never, you know, no one told me.
Right.
And he said, no, they're not official.
They're just dating.
Going on dates together.
Right.
You know, to test it out.
Right.
And when I heard that, it took a while for me to click and okay, that's what
so
it means.
So in that part, you're more traditional.
Yeah.
In Chinese thinking, right?
Right. Yeah. But all, like, these friends are all, they're also Asian. And they're not from the U.S. either.
But they are taking the Western culture.
Yes, because we are in the Western
culture.
You're
educated here in. Yes. Yeah. So we're going to go to the next question.
Okay.
Try to communicate not only regularly, but creatively.
So in long-distance relationships, communicate not only regularly, but create. So creatively, regularly, creatively.
Both.
This is another huge one. I think everything here is huge, huge, huge. Because with long-distance relationships, you really need to have, you need to have a lot of things to keep the relationship going.
Right.
There's no way you can just let it by.
You have to make more efforts.
Yeah. And with communicating thank you internet, and thank you
electricity, all these apps
and apps and Wi-Fi and everything, that it makes long distance so different.
Easier.
So different. So much easier.
Right.
It's not easy, but it's easier.
Okay.
And it's...
I hear you.
Yeah. It's huge, I think. And I've found that in a research article that talks about technology and long distance relationships,
right,
that technology, and this makes sense, it couldn't express intimate personal feelings to between in the relationship, mm-hmm, which makes, because it's technology,
right,
there's only so much like the person can see you, but intimate personal feelings usually that comes from the vibe
or
of being in each other's presence,
right?
Yeah. And this is because of a lack of information of body language, so nonverbal cues, that they couldn't fully understand the message the other person was expressing. Yeah. And in Asian culture compared to Western culture, nonverbal cues are way bigger compared to Western culture. Nonverbal cues is looked at, but it's not as emphasized.
So, Xinmei, since you mentioned that nonverbal cues.
Yes, nonverbal
cues. Does it have anything to do with the low and high context?
Yeah, it's actually a huge part of it. So, if you're in high context communication, so that you basically have to read between the lines. So, what is said is not necessarily what is meant.
Which means Chinese people like to,
yes,
do this a lot.
Yeah, high context is very, very prominent in the Chinese culture.
Mm.
But in low context communication, it's whatever you said, you mean.
Yes.
It is what it is.
Right.
Yeah, and that, you don't have that much nonverbal cues in that. You have, but it's not what you usually focus on if you're communicating with someone in that culture.
Correct, correct.
Yeah, so yes. And low context communication is usually... is more in the Western culture.
Mm.
Yeah, but with all of this, communicating creatively is so important. You can't just be sending messages and thank you, Snapchat, thank you, Instagram. All these apps are so awesome. Because if you're in, let's say with Steven, him and I have a lot of mutual friends.
Right.
So if I see our friends, easily I can just, you know, hold a button and tape, okay, say hello, blah, 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 and then send it.
And then make him feel like he's also part of your life.
Yeah, exactly.
That's good.
And that helps us maintain the relationship.
Right, right, right.
Especially with being so far apart. And if you're on Instagram, you're scrolling, you see something that makes you think about them, you can't just show it to their face and, you know, in that 1 second say, hey, look. But you can easily just send it to them over.
Share with them.
Yeah, share with them, which is nice.
That is a good thing.
Yeah.
Thank you, technology.
Yeah, thank you, technology is a huge one.
Ready for the next question, Xinmei?
What is the next one?
Avoid dangerous situations.
What's a dangerous situation?
Okay, so dangerous situations such as, I hope you're not doing it. Like go clubbing or go... go to places that you think, you know that. I'm not saying you, I say
yes, yes.
Everyone knows that there might be something dangerous happen that we do not want it to happen to affect the relationship.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And this, it's not even just any dangerous situation. I think it's me being a female and him being a male. It's a natural concern that comes up already.
Right.
When I talk to my other friend who's from the Western culture doing long distance, this is the same thing that comes up, is the concern of being in a dangerous situation. And so it's regardless of your culture, it is something that comes up.
Yes.
Regardless. And especially in long distance, you aren't there you can't be there physically with the other person in that, you know, situation to make sure that they're doing okay. But it was found in a study, and this is just for intercultural context,
right,
that North American and East Asian partners misperceived and misinterpreted the other's self-disclosure behavior due to different frames of reference.
Mm.
And so this comes, I think, is very important when it comes into talking about dangerous situations with your partner if you're doing long distance.
So basically, report your schedule.
give them your daily agenda.
Okay.
5 a.m. this, 6 a.m. No one gets up at 5 a.m. But that kind of situation where the way you talk about certain things, especially if it's a sensitive issue.
Right.
That they care about. And it's and the important thing with this is always remembering they come from a good place. So
right.
Their heart is it's coming from a place of good
yeah,
intention.
Just be open.
Yes, being open.
And just let each other
yeah.
build that trust.
Yeah, and yeah, together. That's why managing arguments and how you talk through these arguments is so important. And people from different cultures do it differently.
Right, right.
And even within relationships, people do it differently.
Of course.
Yeah, and I've really found that when I talk to my long distance couple friend from the Western culture, it's for them also different, but it's different because of the couple, not because of the culture.
Okay.
Yeah, when it comes to this specifically.
Situation.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
All right. Yeah. Next one. Have a goal in mind. Yes or no?
Oh, this is like, if anything, this is the top of the list.
You think
this
so?
This is
number one.
Yeah, A out of the alphabet, very top, 1 out of 100. And this applies across the board, not just for long distance relationships.
Yeah,
yeah, and correct. Thank you. It's literally in friendship, parent relationship, whatever. If you don't have a goal in that relationship, a purpose of why you're there and committing, then you're going nowhere. There's nothing to fuel you or motivate you.
Correct.
And there's no reason to be in that relationship. And what I found is the end goal of a relationship is to essentially be together.
Meaning to get married.
Yeah. Get married if that's what you want. Or be in the same country.
Right.
But for me, having a goal in mind is so important. That's what keeps, at least for Steven and I and from other long-distance couples I've talked to,
right,
that's what keeps the relationship going, is communicating constantly that goal. Like for me and Steven, we talk about, okay, next time, when are we going to call? That's a goal. And then next is, okay, when are we going to see each other next? That's another goal.
So basically, it's the same idea of setting small goals and big goals, right?
Yeah, small goals and big goals, exactly.
Right? Yeah.
And not essentially an end goal. Because if your goal is to be in a relationship,
right,
and in long distance specifically, being in that relationship, the goal is to be together eventually.
Right.
But that isn't your end goal, because once you're together, you have
a whole new chapter. Yeah, more challenge that you will have to face.
Yeah, but one thing that I can see is culturally, with having a goal in mind, depending on which culture you're from, that goal is going to look very different.
Very different.
Because in the Chinese culture, when you end up together, usually it is you live with your parents.
Yes. Well, live with... Oh, be careful. This is a little bit different. Mm-hmm. Usually is a woman marry a guy and the woman will have to live with the guy's family.
Right, yeah.
Not usually, I would say 5% only. I don't know. I didn't do the research, but usually is woman marry a guy and a woman live with the guy's family. Never is guy lives with the woman's family, by tradition.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Of course, I'm sure there are exceptions, but...
Yeah, when I think about... Oh, actually...
Yes.
My family is an exception.
They are?
Yeah, in Malaysia, my Malaysian family in Malaysia...
Mm-hmm. Yes.
They... it's my mom's brother, so my uncle, his kids, which are my cousins, the family, the husbands, there's two daughters, so both of my female cousins, their husbands...
Live with them?
Yeah, moved into their house. My male cousin's wife moved in with him, which makes sense because the female...
That's the tradition, yeah.
Yeah, but then with my two female cousins...
Both of their husbands moving with them. Moving to their family.
Or at least one. At least one. At least one.
Oh.
Yeah. With the parents. Same house. Same roof.
Yeah. Well, I could share my family is my uncle. He lives with three of my cousins in the same house. So wow. They're all married. So basically four families under the same roof.
Do you have a man? Is that a mansion or something?
they do that. It's a nice house, but yeah. But that's very traditional, and they do it that's still like nowadays. That. My cousins,
yeah.
Yes,
ultimate family house.
Yes,
yeah. And that's the thing with the end goal is that you never know. Like after you do all this challenges from long distance, you still have challenges after that.
We could probably talk one episode all about this. Guy lives with, how do you say? The wife lives with a husband's family story.
Yeah.
I heard a lot of stories that my friend's stories. And it's another communication issue here because
it's a whole new thing.
Different, and we're all human beings, so.
Yeah, but yeah, exactly. And even being human beings, in the Western culture, it looks a little different, where they're more independent from...
And
it's not to say that it doesn't happen, but from what I've seen with my friends and what I've heard, it's more likely that...
If you're married, you should be... You should have your own family. You should be more independent. Yes,
yeah,
yes.
Yeah, and... Did you find a law, 老师, that...
Oh, yes, yes. So that is a very interesting that I discovered through my friends that grew up here. So they are together for... I think they lived together for 10 years. And we were just joking around one time at a gathering. We say, oh, well, how come you guys don't get married? And they say, we're basically legally married. It's just we're not...
You didn't register.
We didn't register. We didn't have a wedding banquet. And we say, oh, really? How? And then they say, oh, you know, actually, we're living together for certain years. And we are, by law, we are basically married. And they report their tax return together.
As a married couple.
So they're considered as married
spouse.
Couple.
As a spouse.
Yeah, by law.
By law.
Yeah. But there are a lot of specific laws in that. And that law, I think it's called common law marriage.
Common law marriage, yeah. Yeah. So they're not legally married?
They didn't go register. They are considered legally married,
right.
But they didn't go register.
Register, okay.
Yes.
Like a piece of paper.
No.
And that's a whole other thing with the cultural living situation. After you get married, it's... like being more independent after the, if you're in the Western culture, after doing long distance, you usually might be more, you go do your own thing, maybe.
Yeah, that's true.
Mm-hmm.
That's true.
Yeah.
Ready for the next one?
Yes, what's the next one?
So this one is a little bit hard, I'll say, for many of the people.
Just human beings?
Just people who enjoy being in a relationship.
I think a lot of people like companies, the whole population.
So the question is, enjoy your alone time and time with your friends and family.
Oh, that's cute.
Does it give you a hard time?
It's cute. I say it's cute, but it does give... It's one of the biggest... I said having a goal in mind is the biggest, I think, priority. But enjoying your alone time and time with friends is my biggest takeaway.
Okay.
From this currently. Yeah, currently for me, that's what it is. Because... I think I'm realizing I'm very much a relationship person. That's the thing with long distance is you do learn more about yourself.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you're always discovering more about yourself, which that is great. If you're growing in that part, means that you're in a relationship that is healthy.
That is healthy. And if you can have your own network, even without them being here physically with you, that is, in my opinion, in long distance relationships, an epitome of this kind of relationship.
Right.
But I'm also learning is basically just live life. Live life even without the person there. Because it's not that they're not there completely.
Yes.
They're just not there physically.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And it's that there's more than just your culture when it comes to distance. Like when it comes to friends and family.
Right.
Those are people that you need to consider too. And learning how to go out with your friends and have your own identity. It's... big takeaway for
it
long
is.
Distance relationships.
It is. And of course, spend time with your family and friends.
Yeah.
Sometimes when you're too in love, you might neglect
your
friends and your family.
Yeah. It's learning how to be...
Give a balance.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's having the we identity along with the I identity.
Okay.
Yeah. It's the we, but also the I, who I am.
Right.
And then on top of who we are.
Good, good.
Yeah.
Very good, Ximei. Last one. I think this is this one I'm going to share right now, or ask you right now, is really, really important for everybody in their daily life, which is stay positive.
Okay, staying positive.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think about staying positive, Lash?
I think staying positive is very, very important for every individual.
Right.
Through anything.
Right.
And especially in this long-distance relationship, It's basically you are not sure what is the end,
mm-hmm.
and you cannot physically be with this person whenever, whatever you want.
Mm-hmm.
And staying positive, having a positive thought and a positive goal
mm-hmm.
in you will definitely help you to be having more faith and be more confident
right.
in growing together.
I agree. And even on top of what you said, it makes sense because research has shown after they've, you know, talked to all these long distance couples that
right.
two components, openness, so being open, and having positivity are the most frequently observed maintenance strategies between long distance romantic
yes.
partners.
Yes.
So being open and having positivity. But I
yes.
have another opinion on this,
okay.
actually. And staying positive, I think, is a great thing. Positivity, everyone's life, yay, great for you, A+. But at the same time, too much positivity and being too optimistic just kills everything.
Because life is not Disneyland.
Yeah, life is not Disneyland. It's, yes, the happiest place on earth, but at the same time,
yeah, of course, it's not.
In the arguments that have happened between me and Steven in our long distance relationship mm. and the arguments that have happened.
I love heard, story.
Yeah.
Keep going.
And with my friend's long distance relationship, the arguments they've had, there's always been something that you get out of it. You always
meaning
that it's just not just an argument. You don't just like it in a way, basically it adds dimension and another layer on top of your relationship.
Okay.
It helps you progress forward.
Hmm.
And so throughout our long distance relationship so far, it hasn't been super long, but in the time that it has been, whenever we've argued,
right.
inside of me, this is weird, and mm-hmm. I think he said it to me once too, is that it actually was relieving to argue.
Because have you heard about this? Argument is a way of communication.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it is. It is a way to communicate and know each other's thoughts better and making adjustments through arguments and then make out your own
mm-hmm.
ground rules,
mm-hmm.
right?
Exactly. It's
yeah.
kind of in long distance, there's something called idealization where mm. you idealize this person because you don't see them as much and in you miss them so much that your brain starts to see them as this like higher being. You're like, oh my God, you're great.
You should be like this.
Yeah.
That's why I actually think the question is really good. Did you so set up the ground rules
mm-hmm.
for your expectations?
Yeah.
So
yeah. So you know what?
How
to
manage your expectations?
Exactly.
Yes.
Because it's very easy to be in a fantasy when you're mm. in a long distance relationship. But arguments. Then this is what I've learned is that arguments in long distance relationships puts the real in reality.
Mm.
For the relationship.
Because
Great. When it happens, it's kind of like someone snapped their fingers
mm.
and it's like the cloud went away and you see things more clearly.
Great.
Yeah.
And I'm glad to hear that. That
yeah.
is meaning you're growing together.
Yes. It's a lot of growth from arguments and it's something that you shouldn't be afraid of. To you, if you're doing long distance relationships, that's not something you should, or even in a relationship.
Yes.
Don't be afraid of arguments.
Do not avoid conflicts.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you let it accumulate, one day it will just explode.
Yeah.
Which is not healthy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because if you think about a relationship as a sky, if you get all these clouds, all of these negativity or built up frustration that you have, but eventually, if you let it rain, if you let the argument happen, after that passes, it's clear blue skies and sunshine.
If you communicate well.
Yeah, if you communicate well, exactly. It's appropriate communication.
Yeah, well, you can just think about arguments as some people, I think one of my friends told me that we never have arguments. I say, how is that possible?
Mm-hmm.
She's married for, I think, seven years.
Oh, they're married.
Years.
They're
yeah,
actually
7 years.
Married.
Yeah. And when I talked to her, she said, I never had an argument with my husband. I say, well, how is that possible? She said, we have a lot of deep communications.
Deep okay. I like that.
Yeah. So it's interesting. Well,
yeah.
They're happily married for 7 years already.
Congratulations to them.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So today we have a quote to leave for everyone to
mm-hmm.
think about. It's absence sharpens love, presence strengthens it.
Yes, absence sharpens love and presence strengthens it. I think that's so important when it comes, yes, to long distance love relationships, but also across the board. And, you know, we can see from long distance relationships that if you have values need to be there. And importantly is throughout all this, whatever clouds get in your way, whatever rain gets in your way, if you know your other person's essence, their being, keeping that in mind is what will keep you strong.
Right. And make that effort. Mm-hmm. Make that effort to make the relationship last.
Yeah. And on top of all of this is maintaining the right communication.
Yes. Communication, communication is the key for all relationships. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Very important. And on that note, with everything in mind, we want to leave you with a little bit of something to think about.
Yes.
So, you know how everyone lives by a motto. So, what is yours for relationships? What is your motto for relationships that you live by? Mm. And if you don't have one, that's okay. Well,
think now, about one. It's time.
Yeah. It's good to have one. It's good to have one that you live by so you know how to live your relationships.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of more things about long distance that is unspoken, but hopefully from what we've talked about today, you've, you know, enlightened a little bit, even if you're not in a long distance relationship. It's things you can take to apply to anything.
Right. Thank you for sharing, Ximei.
Of course.
Personal stories.
Yeah.
So thank you for joining Fortune Cookie today. Please follow us on Facebook via the link on our webpage.
Yes, and all our episodes release on Sunday, so tune in then. And remember to love,
respect,
and thrive. We'll see you all on the next episode.
Thank you.
Bye.